Welcome to the Ether. Today is Friday, June 17th, 2022. Today on the Ether, Bear Market Happy Hour, hosted by the Bytes Digital Group. Let's take a listen.
All right. Well, now that people are starting to join, just wanted to get everyone together. This has been it's been a while since the Bytes Digital Group has actually held any kind of sort of community chat or just a happy hour. We used to do those weekly Saturday morning streams. Where we would just kind of come together and we really just talk about the market. We'll talk about Terra, obviously. That was at the time when we were branded as Terabytes. And so it's been a long road. As Bytes Digital, we've had to try to pivot the studio, essentially. And so I think the details will be being announced pretty soon. We've started leaning into this edge of rebranding our content, and we'll be taking a much more of a different approach with our content. We're going to be doing much more analytically and data-driven content, and we're going to be focusing much more on market performance, using a lot more just analytics and focusing on a lot of the things that we can do to further create better environments for investors to just continue getting educated. But today, obviously, everyone has been dealing with the bearish news. Invite anyone up to the stage. Anyone can come up and talk and kind of engage with what's going on. For agenda purposes, I guess, I would love to talk about the Three Arrows situation and also the Celsius asset liability mismatches. It's a pretty worrisome situation. Definitely don't think that these are going to be the only bad effects we're going to be seeing over the next few weeks. That could be a bearish take, obviously no financial advice. But there is a lot going on with those situations. With Celsius, we kind of started seeing patterns of weird behavior. I know that a lot of you guys out there are some lunatics, knew what was going on with Luna, knew that there was a massive sell-off occurring. And at the time, everyone was speculating something was going on, someone was doing this, or some organized entity. But in the grand scheme of things, if it was an organized entity, it was at the very beginning. At a certain point in time, natural market vectors started taking place. Natural risk management measures were taken. People started taking risk management decisions by removing their liquidity from Anchor, moving liquidity from the three curve pool, and just swapping the USC away. And Celsius wallets with on-chain data was actually able to confirm that they were the first ones. They were one of the first wallets to front run the mass trade in UST for for DAI or for USDC or for USDT. And so that front run has led to a lot of speculation as to what really happened behind closed doors between several big entities. Alameda Research, Jump Crypto, Celsius, and Jane Street were all mentioned to be part of a potential buyout, almost a bailout. For in exchange for some locked Luna, they would essentially be providing liquidity to help UST come back onto its peg. And as we all know, that deal didn't occur. And Celsius actually came out and said that they were not going to partake and participate. And so that has led to a lot of people kind of speculating that Celsius kind of had a target on their back. And there's actually a great thread that I'm going to try to pull up here so that I can show you guys. But this incredible thread kind of just takes on what all really happened and potential influences for the decision making behind bringing down Celsius. And I do believe that there is for sure some sort of behind closed doors plan by myriads of parties here. And everyone is just acting in a open financial system. When you have these open blockchains, you have these abilities to just kind of figure out where the weaknesses and compromises can exist in different positions. And so it would genuinely not surprise me if there was a much more higher level coordinated event here. But yeah, I wanted to invite anyone up here to kind of come up to the stage and we can start chatting about this. Vahid, thank you for joining me. Or Vahid, I see you out there in the audience. I'm going to pass you the mic. You're one of the team members over from the Flipside team. So I'd love to get you up here to start talking about everything as far as from data points. I know a lot of the charts that have been going around, a lot of the research and analysis in the space has been all coming directly from Flipside resources. And it's been really good to be able to keep up with all the stuff that's going on. A lot of these on-chain metrics are going to be keys in our content moving forward. We want to make sure that we rely on data, rely on backing, rely on all these various systems that we have at our disposal to basically just keep creating more educated, more prepared content. Howdy, Evan. Thank you so much for joining.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's a dandy day. I'm trying to ignore the charts, trying to just keep a positive image with all the things going on. I'm going to start changing the title. So if you want to take over here and give us your general sentiments, I'd really appreciate it.
My general sentiment. Well, the markets are down. And then they keep going down, and we've got this insane cascade effect that I think at least us former lunatics can take some credit for. You know, if you were going to take us down, you're all coming with us, because it seems as though the UST exposure has now spread. And, you know, I used to joke about saying spread the virus and getting UST in the hands of everyone. But actually it ended up being an actual virus. And, when it collapsed, you know, I think companies like Celsius had a little bit too much exposure. They had some staked ETH problems as well. And then 3AC of course had some pretty heavy exposure to UST as well and Luna. So I don't know if we've seen quite the end of this liquidation cascade that has transcended not just Luna, but has transcended kind of the entire market and everybody that's bullish long-term Bitcoin and Ethereum. But, you know, not financial advice. Good time to start dollar cost averaging, in my opinion, if it was my personal funds. So, you know, just when everybody thinks the markets, you know, can't go any lower, that's usually, or the markets are can't rebound and it's total apocalypse and the sky is falling. It's usually a good time to open up the wallet and start dollar cost averaging. So that's my take on the whole sentiment of the market. How about you, Joseph?
I mean, I agree with you with the terms of like dollar cost averaging right now as like a form of priority. But I was actually somehow I ended up getting onto some technical analysis YouTube video dives. And one of these TA guys was just kind of talking about this concept of DCA and downturns and just in these and basically when prices start collapsing, that's when you want to start DCAing. But in reality, the one thing that I'm starting to learn is that when you're DCAing into any sort of asset that's experiencing a bear market or a downtrend, you don't fight the trend. You don't start DCAing when it's clearly still presently in a downtrend. Because odds are, if you purchase now, it's probably going to go down. There is a significant amount of like the support at 20K is not looking good. But obviously, that's some tarot card stuff. But I'm starting to understand that DCAing are for specific ranges of an asset. And like you mentioned, I think that there are much more reverberation effects that we're going to start seeing in the space from all of this. I posted up to the up into the space a couple of links. The first one is going to be, if you guys scroll to the right, the first one's going to be from the Real Plan. The Real Plan kind of gives you a little bit of a more of a macro perspective of what's really going on with Celsius specifically. It kind of does lead into a little bit of speculation. It is not confirmed that Alameda Research is kind of like the kingpin that's trying to liquidate Celsius. But there is on-chain metrics to show that Alameda Research is also dumping vast amounts of STETH and getting Ethereum and purposefully driving the peg down. and to cause some liability mismatches on the Celsius. It directly causes that. And so it's very interesting to see that kind of story painted in that thread. And the next thread coming from DGen Trading. DGen Trading has been releasing a lot of killer threads this week, kind of breaking down the specifics. I'm going to be taking a lot of the portions of these and making some deep dive videos to kind of cover this in a video format. But this, the tweet coming from DGen Trading goes over essentially what's happening with the ST ETH and ETH peg. And a lot of concerns right now arising with like liquid staking. And I, to be honest, wasn't aware of all these like problems and all of these concerns with it. In reality, it makes sense because it's you have an asset that is supposed to be trading for a one-to-one. So if you have your books, if you have your financial books, you would be writing it down as if you had that ETH. But at any given time, that ETH could deviate and could go down, and your asset that you thought was worth something ends up not being worth that. And it also affects at protocol level, where protocols don't even really, they really plan the risk measures for those pegs to maintain. And when they do not maintain, it's obviously catastrophic. And so I think that these effects aren't over. I think that we're going to start seeing a lot more of this stuff cropping up, more Celsius problems, more three arrows going down. And I just think that like right now, until Bitcoin can show that it's like found a bottom, I'm not like DCAing.
Oh, so you're going totally against everything I just said. I appreciate the honesty. Couple things. The trend is your friend. That's a nice rhyme to remember. So I do agree with you to an extent that until we see like really a bottom and then a higher low, you know, it's kind of
also
hard.
Macro like, conditions. Like I also think that if I see macro conditions improve, like there's no three arrows collapse, there's no Celsius collapse, there's people start stop worrying about inflation. The Bank of Japan is worried about the yen right now. And there's just so many other things that are happening, like happening macroly and like stock market performance, it is bouncing back. But anytime that the stock market bounces back and comes back down, Bitcoin goes down with it. They're very tied. In your experience, obviously you're ancient. You were probably around for when they made the first Bitcoin. What was it like being in the 2018 downturn? How long and how miserable was it? What do you remember back then? I'm surprised they had the internet. I think Evan's mic is not working. But yeah, that's something that's been going through my mind for the long time now. Is basically like long term, what occurred with all these downturns? Because this is not the first time that this has happened. If you literally zoom out of the charts, you literally go back into the history of these assets. Bitcoin is still within ranges of normality. This is normal for the terms of movements for an asset that volatile. And it's really interesting to see how all of this is unfolding, and it all started with the lunatic community. So a lot of lunatics are out here, and personally, I've been pretty immune to kind of seeing all this unfolding, pushed into the depths of coin matter, and all of my bullish drive and bullish energy that I had for crypto in general has kind of just been transferred for the future of like being into 2023, 2024, and like honestly late 2023 if possible. But that's ambitious for my take right now. Welcome to the stage. Hi Quintus, how are you doing today, sir?
What's up, baby? I'm a first time caller, long time listener, Joseph intern groupie.
Yeah, no, you've been an OG supporter of me. And I really appreciate you. I know that you've got some macro takes on everything. I know that right now there's a lot of concerns going on, even rumors cropping up about Voyager potentially being in some trouble here. Everything's just wild right now.
Yeah, everything is wild. So a few things you brought up, macro conditions. Yeah, I've been around the block a few times as well. This is not my first rodeo for a market collapse. This will be my fourth market collapse since I've been an investor. So it's fun times. The thing that gets me that's different is that digital currencies didn't exist the last time we had a market collapse. So, I mean, all bets are off. I don't know what's going to happen. But I mentioned this to you yesterday, and I think the peculiar thing about it is that how many $1 trillion have been deleted from the market in the last month that could have existed in traditional finance and now has been deleted from digital finance? What are we up to, $3 trillion already? That's one thing that, that gets me, is that that wouldn't have happened in traditional finance in such a way. So I don't know what to think about where we're going, because there's a whole nother asset class that exists. We still haven't seen real estate collapse, really. We've seen a slowdown in general, you know, offers and purchases being made, but the banks haven't caught up yet. Interest rates haven't fully caught up yet to the raises. Obviously, those interest rates just started to go up. So I don't know if the real estate market completely collapses. But the other thing about that that's different is that now we have BlackRock and other companies that have been buying up real estate across the country like mad. So you've got a lot more concentrated wealth that exists that wasn't there the last time we had a market downturn like this. And I'm assuming you meant 2008, not 2018.
Well, I mean, I was mentioning 2018 back in like when Ethereum had its insane run and just subsequently had a very violent pullback.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, like as a very rather new investor, I got sucked into crypto in 2021. And I'm never leaving now. I've been crypto oriented at this point.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to hear from the perspective of investors that were like around back in those times. Because like here in 2022 and seeing like and experiencing all these things, I can go back to some data points. I can watch a Benjamin Cohen video, and be able to be like, oh yeah, this is all par for the course. This is mathematically like it's mathematically working. This is all general behavior for Bitcoin start, like nothing room for major concern. But yeah, like what were you into crypto like back then? When did you really like start buying stuff?
No, I didn't even get into crypto until 2020. And I've been in investing since I was 19. So it's been 21 years. And crypto didn't exist for me until 2020. So I'm still new to the game as well. But, you know, I lost a lot of money in Luna, as you know, as well as a lot of other people here.
It's really just sad at this point. It's so sad. But the reality is that like it happened. We learned from it.
Yeah, we learned from it. I've become more Bitcoin maxi.
Evan, thank you so much for coming back.
Oh, is Evan back?
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, for sure. No, yeah. I told Evan multiple times that this is driving my Bitcoin maxi levels much higher.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, we can now.
Right. Welcome back.
Sorry. I was in a valley, so I guess I didn't have reception. So I'll just give you my perspective on 2018 and going through that as a crypto guy. And then like some things that I've said on record in spaces before kind of that led up to sort of the current situation. So 2017 was like a huge, like the first really big Ethereum run. That was when ICOs kind of took off. And for those of you that are aren't familiar with that term, ICO is initial coin offering, and basically it replaced like IPOs that you see in traditional equities markets. And what happened was, you know, a bunch of projects were building and they were like, hey, we've got this white paper and all these grandiose ideas and it's going to be awesome. All you have to do to get in at the bottom floor of this awesome project is give us a bunch of Ethereum and then we'll issue you our ERC-20 token. You know, for whatever, you know, 100 to 1 or 1,000 to 1 or whatever the ratio was. And a lot of people were raising some serious dough from, you know, just from like a white paper and maybe like a decent landing page. And that was like all of 2017. At the time I had just dove into the space full time. I was working for a company called ICO Alert, which managed like the schedule of when these things happen. So, you know, investors who had a bunch of Ethereum were looking to get into some of these projects. And I will say one of the advantages of ICO, whether it's a good or a bad thing, is that you're instantly liquid.
It's not like investing in a seed round of some startup where, you know, the chances of an IPO, the chances of you being a seed investor in like a Facebook or an Amazon are you know, you might as well go buy a lottery ticket. But with ICOs, you're pretty much instantly liquid. As soon as this project gets listed on an exchange, you now have the ability to sell, and speculators come in and drive the price up or down or whatever. And if it's a bull market, then the price will usually go up. So all that went down in 2017, and then we got to the point where Bitcoin hit like $20,000 at the end of 2017, or like right in January of 2018, and then everything kind of crashed. And similar to what we saw this time, although we kind of had like a weird double top this time, which was new, at least from my perspective. But there was it wasn't so much like the crash that killed everyone, although that hurts, and you know, things falling apart definitely hurts, especially UST with such a large market cap. And I think like UST and Luna had some pretty broad reaching implications, and you know, more people than care to admit had UST in their treasury. But after that, it was really like just the long, boring sort of like crab walk that the markets did, be it Ethereum or be it Bitcoin. You know, people are heads down building. There's not a whole lot of hype. So, you know, things are being built behind the scenes that maybe you're not aware of, or nobody's really talking about. And, you know, there's no Elon Musk to go on Saturday Night Live and pump our Dogecoin bags or whatever. And that's kind of where I think a lot of people will fall off. So if this crash now has an analog to that early 2018 crash, people are still around right now, and maybe they're just tuned in to kind of like hear about, you know, why did I lose my money? Or maybe it's just like the gore and, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. So they're still interested in hearing it. But it'll be a really, if there is an analog between this year and 2018, which I still believe there is, it will be a long, boring crypto winter. And that boredom and that lack of hype and, you know, projects not really getting any recognition despite being like fundamentally sound, that will be what I think a lot of people end up dropping out of the space. You know, that'll be like a side effect of that. So that's my perspective on it. I think one interesting thing, and I talked about this on my new show, which, by the way, if you're interested, tune into YouTube, Pantera's Bagel Shop, or whatever the hell we're going to call it. But I overlaid a chart of 2018 to the current chart. And there was this like really brutal capitulation candle in November of 2018. And at the time, I think Bitcoin was riding, like, it was kind of bouncing around between maybe like 5 and 10K. The peak was 20K. And in November, for whatever reason, like there was just this brutal downturn into like around 3,000. And that was like, man, we just did 6 months after the initial crash. People are still trying to rebuild. There's still like, you know, there's still dust of hopium in the air. And for that to happen, I mean, that really, really hurts. But when I overlaid the chart, the thing that was interesting was that candle was like almost exactly like this week, which, you know, it isn't November. It's a little bit earlier. But, you know, with macro markets, or, you know, the macro environment rather, and this cascading effect of UST kind of killing everyone, they looked very similar. So in a sense, when I first jumped on, I said, you know, maybe a good time to look at DCA, dollar cost averaging. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the bottom of the market, but there has been at least some decent support here. And I've always been kind of, not always, but at least since Joseph says I have gray hair and I'm like an old man and the internet wasn't even born when I was first got into this. One thing I've noticed is like when every single person is saying one thing, usually, you know, retail gets hosed and the opposite ends up being true. So, you know, if you're going to start scaling back in, I don't think this is the worst time ever. I'm long term bullish. I'm balls deep in, you know, I said this, I think maybe in News Bites, you know, if this whole industry collapsed and crypto was like all a dream, I'd be pretty screwed because I'd have to go back to like some TradFi or payments or tech company and be like, hey, yeah, like right out of college, I had a job with you guys. And then I took a 5-year or 6-year hiatus working on like some total bullshit that all collapsed. So I'm definitely bullish long term. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to maybe see a little bit more pain. The macro environment, again, this is interesting because we haven't, I think a lot of people for the longest time had this theory that Bitcoin was like a hedge against the macro environment and was a hedge against inflation and all this stuff. But now, more than ever, at least like if I'm trading, the first thing I check is like, okay, what does like the NASDAQ futures look like? And then from there, what does Bitcoin look like? And then from there, okay, what does the alt that I'm potentially, you know, longing or shorting look like? So we're way more correlated with the broader marketplace than we've ever been before. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's just a matter of fact. And so, yeah, anyway, I'm rambling. So Joseph, stop me, please.
No, you're totally fine. I actually appreciate the ramble. I think I kind of relate to the entire, like, trying to figure out when to crab walk and when to DCA into it. Interesting that you mentioned like how the inflation situation. I watched a Benjamin Cohen video, and that video kind of touched on the fact that in this entire history of like Bitcoin, since it's come into an existence, it's never experienced a moment in time where the dollar was hyperinflating this drastically. Like, this is the first time in history that Bitcoin has had to experience this. And to be honest, when you look back at previous cycles, this wick down wasn't like as bad and as dramatic as other ones have been. So in a certain sense, I know this is going to sound like even more hopium in the dust. It's actually kind of bullish to see how, like, wow, even in these like extremely uncertain macroeconomic times, with so much fear and so much happening and so much like capital that's been wiped out, for it to not have gone to zero is actually pretty astonishing.
Well, yeah. And there's a lot of people who, and this will be my last comment, and then I got to drop off because I got a hot date tonight with a sexy young thing sitting next to me, aka my wife. But the last comment I'll make is, I think right now there, and in the previous cycle or even just like before that, a lot of people who are like Bitcoin OGs, and I won't put myself in that category. I mean, I am, like, I have been bullish Bitcoin, and I do think Bitcoin is, like, I don't take profit into cash so much as I take profit into Bitcoin, because it gets killed less in a bear, and it usually is the first thing to pop in a bull. But I will say, like, a lot of the OGs who are around, they place their bets based on, is Bitcoin either going to go to zero or a million? Like, what are the odds that at this point Bitcoin goes to zero? And, you know, if you compare that to where it was 5 years ago, where it was 8 years ago, where it was, you know, 10 years ago, it's in a much better shape. It's a household name. I mean, everybody knows what Bitcoin is nowadays. So, you know, place your bets accordingly, not financial advice. Joseph, I need to run. I'm going to go to dinner, but thank you so much for letting me on stage. I appreciate your humble hosting ability.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy dinner. I hope it's a good meal. And tell your wife I said hi. Alrighty. Yeah. So, I mean, that's it's great to be able to kind of just go into like the kind of the mental processes of someone who is around the ancient times of 2018. Because, like, personally, for me, I've been reading all this stuff about like the Celsius situation and the three arrows. And it reminds you how much more of a macro effect that there is happening, like big suits, big entities, and there is large amounts of financial wars that are occurring. And an interesting thought that I've been having throughout all of this is that these are just open financial markets. I mean, it's quite literally that everyone can openly see what's going on chain, what's happening on chain, what activity is happening. And that reveals potential opportunities for attacking like another entity, forcing liquidations, hunting for liquidations, and trying to force people into some liability mismatch situations. And I know that all of these lunatics out there in the audience, I know you guys are a little downtrodden about the whole UST thing, but these effects are deep. Celsius actually was one of the few that got out pretty ahead of the game. And they managed to get out. They are still in this trouble, even though they got out of UST so quickly. But yeah, Quintus, I want to get your take on all of this. It's actually pretty crazy. I know you and I had talked about this on a side earlier about like, there's nothing much to go on. There's nothing much to be excited about. And it's very difficult to find things to be excited about right now. But for me, I'm just kind of putting my head down and really kind of focusing on the fundamentals of like what tools exist right now in the space and how should protocols kind of build during this bear and like what products they should accomplish. Alrighty. So I believe Quintus is no longer with me.
I'm here. Oh. I'm here, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you hear my question? I want to know what you think. Are we going to zero? Is there anything to be excited about? Like, is there something that you are excited about in DeFi? Because for me, I'm just excited about how IBC is going to compete with Ethereum 2.0. But that's for 2024 talk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go. There's the problem right there is that, yeah, I'm excited about things, but I'm not excited about anything anytime soon. So, I think I've told you my two hedges right now, other than Bitcoin, are Rune and Osmosis, and those are the two things I'm looking forward to most. And at these prices, it's hard not to buy.
Yeah, if it goes down 99%, it can't go down another 99%, right? Like that's logical, right?
Well, see, the thing that gets me about Osmosis, though, that I really love, and I, you know, this is my TradFi background pumping through, but Osmosis coming out with options trading. Oh, count me in all day long. The fees generated from options trading, you know, you're going to pump your token all day. I was super excited for what was the options?
Sigma.
Oh,
dude, Lipa. I know, man. I know. Options trading on the blockchain, it would have. That's like the bittersweet moment thing for me. The bittersweet moment thing for me about all of this is that truly it felt like the Terra ecosystem was like this close.
But
I mean, obviously the House of Cards was flawed. Like there was a very intrinsic House of Cards flaw that we all like overglazed and at times like maniacally declined. And I'm very guilty of that myself.
Yeah, we all have to be at some point. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. We did it to ourselves.
It's tough to like. It's an ego hit, man. It's a major ego hit, and it literally forces your back into a corner to where it's like, yeah, you got to go do the research even more profoundly. Like you missed, you blundered. You have to just figure it out and grow from it.
Yeah. Well, so Osmosis is one of my excitements because of that, and because of their ETF versions of the funds or mutual fund versions.
The thing that like, they're partnering with, it's like a Solana chain. It's like a Solana protocol that's like bringing.
It was going to be like Nebula, where you had your multiple coins in one account, kind of thing. So I was excited. I'm still excited for Osmosis, you know. But you know, the only thing I've got to be excited for right now is the price because it's cheap. And then Rune is my other hope for the future because, you know, you stack Rune, you do some single-sided LPing with some Bitcoin or some Ethereum or whatever. They're onboarding a bunch of other ecosystems and you can do, right now it's the only DEX where you can just swap native tokens from other chains. So you could swap Bitcoin straight for Ethereum.
I'm like super spooked from like centralized exchanges. Like I'm just super spooked. And I've seen a lot of people putting out warnings to like just get your coins off of exchanges. I personally think that the effects of UST, the effects of 3AUK going down and the effects of Celsius going down, like those things aren't going to stop. There's going to be more. So like get your centralized exchanges, get your coins out.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you on that one. I'm not taking anything out of Voyager, though. I'm still going to keep my BGX tokens, and I'm going to stack them, and I'm going to get my USDC there, and I'm going to stack my minimum amount of Bitcoin and Ethereum and just let it ride. I'm not going to stack a ton of it, though, so just for those fears that you just mentioned. But I don't think all of the exchanges are bad or are all going to fail, so... there's some good to be had there. But yeah, there's obvious concerns too. So I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit nervous with these prices so low, but I haven't gotten any red flags from Voyager. Like personally, I don't see anything. I haven't seen much. Yeah, there's a few things that are negative, but the red flags are not as prominent for me. I don't know what this $322 million loan is that everybody's talking about. they don't even have, I mean, they've got 175 million in cash and another, I want to say, they have a ridiculous amount of Bitcoin held. So I'm not really sure what that is. Do you know?
So there was rumors swirling that they had taken out a major loan. It was for positions to have like long-term like equity in some form of projects. It's not confirmed at all. It's so far, it's just been some guy who released some metrics on Twitter. I wish I had it. I had it handy. But it's someone who released some metrics on Twitter. Some people said that it was a glitch with like the way that the Blockchain Explorer was showing it, saying that it wasn't actually belonging to Voyager. Others say that it does. It's really interesting. I mean, it's just like, who knows what's going on, dude?
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like everything else. You don't actually know. The one thing that I do appreciate about Voyager, though, is that they have been pretty upfront. And they also, I mean, they're publicly traded. So as far as transparency goes, it's about as good as it gets in the U.S. And they haven't expanded anywhere else.
So Voyager lends out clients' money, like Celsius, to third parties. And there's six parties all labeled with letters A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And they had that $300 million loan out. And the only known fact about where that money was is that it's in Singapore. That's the connection. How do they make 9% on how do they pay out 9% on USDC? They are loaning out users' funds. So it doesn't matter what they have on the balance sheet. They did loan that out, and the question everyone's waiting for is that money insolvent, or are they going to get it back? Did they have collateral, or was it, you know, BitMEX came out and said, I think they had a non-collateral loan. BlockFi had a collateral loan, and Margin called them. The theory is, and the silence from Voyager is what's concerning a lot of people, and you can see that in the stock price. But, yeah, they do lend out clients' money.
Yes. That wasn't a doubt. You're right. The doubt is where they loaned it, right?
And
you're assuming that some of that is 3AC, right? Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct. And Steve has mentioned,
because of the Singapore.
And Steve has mentioned that they were lending partners in the past, or borrowing partners. You know, they were partners in the past, but they were all, you know, Voyager was also partners with Celsius, and Voyager cut that off last year.
Alameda Research they made a purchase in equity of Voyager. And so like there's a lot of speculation that there's like some higher up political like conflicts sprouting here, because Celsius front ran everyone on the UST like run out. They were able to recover some of their funds. I'm pretty sure that they sold at like 97 or 98. And then when the bailout discussion started happening, Celsius did not partake in the bailout discussions, leaving Alameda Research, leaving Jump Crypto, leaving everyone just hanging dry, even Three Arrows. Do you guys think that there's merit to that perspective?
So I saw the on-chain metrics, and I'm a finance guy working commercial real estate, trade buy stuff. But what I saw is the on-chain data was Celsius was one of the first to infatuate or extenuate the DPEG. They pulled out such a large size. Now, were they, you know, the culprit and part of the attack? Again, I don't think the point of the conversation, but they pulled and created, you know, they pulled out a significant amount to help with the depegging situation.
Absolutely.
And then Voyager turned around and actually diluted stockholders and I don't know again why they made the decision, but did a $60 million round to Alameda. And I have my personal opinions about Alameda and FBF, but I think we all do. I think it's mercenary capital, but I
go on, go on.
I digress. I don't mean to hijack the conversation.
No, dude, seriously, this is.
No, please, please go in on that, please.
Alameda's connected. I think at this point we all understand that they're connected straight to FBF, the SAM and FTX. It is the hedge fund that he runs, I guess, probably silently. Most people will call it at this point, as they've kind of tried to separate ties. But it just goes to show you that a lot of the wealth was centralized in crypto. And the fallout from Terra, I had to agree. I was on another with Pantera they were so close to not failing, like legitimately so close. You had Lovano perp trading, you had Nebula, you had all these things that would have stabilized and locked up UST from a bank run. But, you know, and then you, so what I saw in this situation, going back to Voyager, is Voyager came out twice during the Luna UST peg and during the Celsius fall, and came out really quickly, like a lot of companies have, and said, we have no exposure. Right now, Voyager comms, and specifically Steve, who's pretty active on Twitter, has been silent for the past 3 days. I know for a fact in the and in investor meetings, I used to be a huge holder of VGX, actually, which got me, led me into Luna, which then led me into even more DeFi, that Steve was lending out, and I can go find it on my Twitter in a second, but was lending out to Three Arrows Capital for sure. Now, again, we don't know on the line item. You see investor G, Singapore, $322 million. And the words of coming out of Steve's mouth saying Three Arrows Capital was a client. So those are the connections. Now we need the proof, right?
So, yeah, those are all, that's all been documented. But now, you don't think Steve saying that we have no exposure is...
No, that's the issue. He has not said he doesn't have exposure to the collapse of Three Arrows. He said he had
no exposure. To UST, right? And Luna.
Correct.
Right. But now, last thing real quick.
Now we know that 3AC was going behind clients' backs and putting USDC and USDT into UST Anchor Earn and paying fees that way. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to take it once, a couple steps back and kind of actually view more macro view a second on SBF and the last 6 months or 10 months of how things have been going for stablecoins in general, for regulation in general, for the congressional hearings and SBF willing to do whatever not only whatever the government and congressional recommendations are, but also being one of the biggest funders of politicians that he can possibly be, right? So this whole marriage of the political donation world and crypto that is manifested at the highest level through SBF, FTX, the NFL, Major League Baseball, etc., this gigantic nexus of what is going to be the normal, when they had all the heads of stablecoins in Congress and it was USDC and SBF sitting there and Brian Brooks, who had just left being head of Binance US at the time and became like a Bitcoin crypto bro at that moment. They had been there. And they're like, hey, guys, what we want is daily reports and KYC on everyone. And SBF was like, yes, yes, absolutely. Daily reports on everything. No problem. I have no problem with that. But all we saw on crypto Twitter was like, oh my God, look at Sam's shoes untied. He's so weird. Isn't he so weird? He's such a funny genius, this guy with his shoes untied, as he's totally just selling out everything, right? So the winners of all this are obviously this stable coin.
Isn't what wild? Yellen literally came out Monday during
exactly.
the EPEG
yes.
with
yes.
with US. How does she give a fuck about? Sorry for my language, guys. How does she care about?
But not even that. The day of the attack, they released the Federal Reserve report written ahead of time, which name-checked Terra UST and had a whole section on stablecoins. And then when the attack was fully basically executed the next morning, first thing in the AM, Yellen steps in front of Congress right out of her mouth within the first 2 minutes is Terra UST has had a bank run, blah, 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 blah. Right. So, yes, absolutely. They knew that, like I said, everything, all of the evidence around that day shows absolutely from the highest level, from the central banks down through Congress, down to their buddies and their accepted centralized exchange partners like SBF, FTX, et cetera, among their top asset managers, BlackRock, Citadel, et cetera, on down through their operatives all the way through to the ETH maxis, DAI maxis, everyone who couldn't wait to jump in and just be the vultures sucking on the blood as it went down. Everything was staged perfectly. And these are by the people who are the biggest manipulators of all time, right? So, like I said, what I was always worried about with Terra was we were not aware enough of who our enemy was. It wasn't like, and then once we, once kind of Doe gravitated into being crypto Twitter bro, I was like, oh my God, this is not where we're supposed to be right now. Especially not when we're actively in a lawsuit against the SEC. Like, they're going to bring everything they fucking have. And they did. Like, in my opinion, even going back to Magic Internet Money, to me, that was just pure honey trap bait for Doe to take. You have a federally busted criminal that they just bait them with money printing. Either Doe's in on it or he takes the bait. Either way, he's now blackwashed no matter what. If this didn't happen and they still went to court, all they had to do is be like, look, Doe Kwan, Sifu, Magic Internet Money, Burr, all these tweets Doe had, and they already had him by the balls after that, one way or another. Whether he's in on it, not in it, it doesn't matter. They had him fucked from that moment on, in my opinion.
I think we separated ourselves enough from him, to tell you the truth. I think we had pulled away, but maybe that was just my glazed over opinion.
Right, but when, like, that timeline, right? So Terra forms a partnership with Magic Internet Money, and then within, what, 3-4 months, it all goes to hell. And when it goes to hell, Daniele exposes his own guy through a private message to Zach XBT saying, hey, by the way, Zach, in case you didn't figure it out by now, my guy is a totally federal busted criminal. Did you know that? I mean, dude, like, come on. Like, who gives themselves away like that, right?
No, I do agree that, like, all this, like, the timing for the several events that have occurred, it's pretty crazy. And yeah, like, the fact that Yellen the very same day had that already ready to speak in front of Congress, in front of, like, everyone, to, like, say, like, we need stable coins, yeah, like, legislation, like, we need to pass, start considering CBDCs. It's really crazy to think that all those things happen intertwined and, like, so consecutively and perfectly. Right.
And then the back end was the instant winner was USDC. People did not run to USDT. All of a sudden, there was like, oh, wow, Tether might depeg now. You better go to USDC. And USDC took the fuck off. And USDC is BlackRock. USDC is Facts. Goldman Sachs.
Facts. Yep. BlackRock is the issuer of the dollar, the stablecoin now. They back every Correct. Dollar pretty much. It's about 60% or so.
Wait, right. is that like a thing? I was not aware. Is there like hard confirmation?
Yes, yes. April,
yeah, absolutely.
It was always Goldman Sachs, and then in April of this year, BlackRock made it official with a huge buy-in, whatever it was, $400 million, some big buy-in, where they were now officially either the major partner or the controlling partner, whatever it is. But you got to remember, throughout the Fed's endless printing through COVID, the Fed hired BlackRock as their asset managers. So BlackRock, you know, yes, they are one of the biggest hedge funds, but they are also the proxy of the Fed's assets. And now that the Fed is tightening, they just started tightening, and they're going to unload their balance sheet, unload their stocks, unload their crypto, unload all their shit. Well, that's BlackRock doing their asset management through crypto, real estate, et cetera, right? So now they're going to dump on all of us, right? And what's one thing I want to kept thinking of earlier, we were talking about cycles and, oh, well, we weren't around in 2018 or we weren't around in 2014 or whatever. What's amazing to me to see is that when you look at these general accumulation distribution cycles, it does go back 100 years. And they were figuring that shit out when it was a ticker tape stocks, right? Ticker tapes coming in on stocks. They had the people's psycho pattern figured out of how to play this against the public, right? So now with computers, now with algorithms, now with the market makers, forget about it. I mean, we're done, right? And then you have celebrity endorsements and payoffs and all of Hollywood working to draw our money in and take it from us, right? To the point of Elon Musk and everything they staged and Saturday Night Live and Doge. This is all major, major staging to take our money, which is what they did. This is what they do over and over and over again throughout a hundred years plus, right? What's amazing is it always plays out. So while we were being sold super cycle and all this other shit, new paradigm, and then you even see on the chart, all right, well, here's the moment of new paradigm where I should be getting out. We still are like, yes, this is the new paradigm this time. This is the super cycle this time, right? And then we all believed in it. And why it's, I think, more devastating this time is because it's not just the normal cycle. We were on the verge of the success of a decentralized money system. We had the biggest decentralized stablecoin. We were actively fighting against the central bank, the SEC, and the entire system, and we blew it. But we were, like everyone has said earlier, we were literally right there. I can tell you from planning the TerraDApp Expo, there was payments in UST. I can tell you from what we were going to announce on stage, it was unbelievable physical locations of like headquarters and builder development bases and hacker type city locations that were coming in to the physical world. Like this was not, nothing was a theory with Terra. Nothing was like a tradition, like what you think of a rug pull. It's vaporware. It doesn't exist. No, everything was real and was literally, you know, not just minutes away, was already successful, right? So that's why it was the ultimate attack at the ultimate moment, totally perfectly planned by the ultimate strategist of all time, the most evil diabolical geniuses.
I completely agree. And like, I feel your words, because like working with Terabytes, I knew that feeling. I know that what was being worked on in this ecosystem was real. While a lot of people in the community didn't realize like the risks of stable coins and the risks of a decentralized one, a non-collateralized, an algorithmic one, maybe we all were a little oversung those risks, and maybe or undersung those risks, and maybe we all didn't really kind of accept that and accept those flaws with it. But at the end of the day, is that this was all real. Like there was an actual vision here that, while flawed and has some issues that you could criticize, was literally the first step and was the next step of creating the true Bitcoin standard. And that was like one of my favorite things that Doquan always called it, is that it was truly the new manifestation of Bitcoin growing into its new form of being preferred money, being a preferred form of monetary system. And the fact that UST was going to use that to do that, and then started introducing an even more radical idea of introducing more blockchains currencies by getting those currencies to buy into this system as well, to essentially tie all of these baskets of cryptocurrencies together to create a truly like almost sovereign form of monetary financial system. It's just so shocking and sad. Because like, sure. I mean, like for me personally, dude, I jumped full time into content making, and it was like, holy crap, this is done, this is over, it went down, and here I'm now learning about the true like things that are happening behind the doors, realizing that this is a much bigger battle, there is a bigger awareness of what's happening in the big scene. So I have a feeling that this bear market is just going to be a long, long time of just straight up education, especially for myself.
Well, that's why I kind of think like, if it's like, if we're being realistic here, the central banks won, the centralized system won. This was a, you know, a headshot kill shot for DeFi in general. CDeFi is going to win. And what that means, that doesn't mean it's over.
It wins it.
But what I think it means is like kind of the idealist, and not everyone cares about this, first of all, like just like privacy and email, right? Or privacy and anything. Some people don't care, right? Some people don't care about these issues. But if you do care about these issues, I think there's going to be two major use cases that prevail for decentralized money. One is going to be in countries or communities that have absolute severe hyperinflation and need a currency system to exchange between each other that they all accept that is not subject of that hyperinflation. I think that's going to take hold. And number two, the problem I see is what I read in all the regulations is if you continue to use anything that's really DeFi, you will either be labeled a person of interest, or the country where that company operates out of will be outlaw country, or they're going to come down really hard on it, right? So what we've already seen with the internet is when they bring a fully controlled centralized system, whether it's YouTube, Google, Gmail, whatever it is, most people use it and don't give a fuck about privacy, don't give a fuck about decentralization, don't give a fuck about censorship, even when they see their favorite YouTube channels get taken off right in front of their face. So that's what we're also dealing with, that ignorance. So like, I do agree with you, education is the most important point, but they're just going to bring this in quick. I don't think this will be a long crypto winter. I think this will be a quick reset into the CDeFi system with SBF, USDC, all the centralized shit right there already, as soon as they have control, boom, as soon as we get all these last remaining people that love DeFi out of the system, we already had the quote unquote godfathers of DeFi exit because they weren't legit. Andre, Danielli, all these motherfuckers, they already exited because they weren't legit. Terra was legit. It's the last one. They killed it. Now all they got to do, bring in CDeFi. And why they really won, one of the smartest things they did was they got all this development open source for free. So now that it's built and now that it's working and now that it's running, boom, we just take it all, put it in the back end, put our fucking JP Morgan shit on the front end. Let's go. Yeah.
And it's so discouraging. It's so discouraging to really just kind of come to that terms. But I do think that I'm going to have to disagree with you on a certain point to it, is that I think that with the values of the people that are building, they're not going to go away. And the perceptions that in that vision that we all agreed on with what UST was going to accomplish, and even the original ethos of what Bitcoin is, those ethos are going to keep growing, they're going to keep going, and they're going to keep happening. And even in those hyperinflationary economies, like you mentioned, those are the ones that are going to adopt it. I think those countries are going to end up superseding. I think when individuals, as time progresses, as people become more technologically fluent, people are going to become more understanding of what crypto is and what it does. It's going to be a natural onboarding vehicle almost to an entire new generation of people of like, this is everything you don't know about technology and everything you don't know about money. So when people start getting the technology, like as almost second nature, they will naturally be able to understand what this original movement of this creation of this technology meant. And so I do see an opportunity where true DeFi will always be there, will always be trying to accomplish what it should accomplish. And I think that as Bitcoin grows into the asset that it will become, it is what happens like all the time in the history of the world, is that one individual with a lot of power can make an entire change for the entire world for millions and billions of people. And so if the people that have all of the supply have Bitcoin, the ones that are controlling it, the ones who truly have like whale amounts to create change like globally, those people will be the ones that can truly institute a truly decentralized and free form of money. And I would hope that someone will actually manage to do that in the future, but that could just be me being really like hopeful.
Right. Because we're seeing right now, like literally Alameda and the biggest people take it in front of our face, right? Even though we had some awareness of this ahead of time, right? We all knew these cycles before this happened. We all knew these things, and yet we all got hit by this. You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter because, right, that's the consolidated man thing. Whoever controls the supply is going to control the market. And that's why these patterns play out time and time again, no matter what our hope is, no matter what our heart is. So somehow we have to reprogram ourselves and as like DAO organizations or a DeFi mindset to be like, all right, this is the cycle. It is controlled. We need to go with the flow instead of when at this critical moment, like hope it, our hopes and dreams, we're going to put everything into it and just say, fuck it. And that's what happened to all of us. I don't know anyone that traded Luna UST that was a lunatic the right way. Everybody got fucked that I know. And that's the smartest traders I know, the most brilliant people. Like everyone was shell shocked when it happened.
Well, that's the iceberg effect that we're seeing, where companies weren't even touching or near Terra Luna or weren't even leveraged in their ecosystem and they're collapsing. I found the tweet, I pinned it up at the top, I believe I did it right, that shows the thread going back to Voyager. 3AC taking in, you know, the Singapore-based country. So quick, I just wanted to say real quick, I moved the USDC into USD until you hear from Voyager, because the ramifications of the collapse are not even really seen yet. We're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, let's speculation aside, that USD account is FDIC insured through Metropolitan Bank. I don't think 9% for a couple weeks is worth the risk of insolvency. So that's just kind of what why I jumped on here, Quint, was just to let you know that there is those rumors out there. I wouldn't say they're untouched. Now, they weren't leveraged to the tits like a lot of these companies were, but the wake and the contagion, I guess, is the word that people are using. Is going to touch. And the other thing I read is Barrow's capital was controlling teams' treasuries. We have not yet seen the ramifications of that either, as teams come out and say they lost everything because 3AC has gone dark on us.
Yeah.
Man, so, you just spoiled my entire video. You just literally just spoiled the entire, like, entire breakdown of this situation. Now I guess I'm just not going to have to make that video. Thank you.
No. Now you can just go deeper and you can give us even more.
we'll see. No, but seriously, thank you. Thank you, Roller Pirate, for sharing.
You know what? Hey, I would actually like to hear your opinion. Can you break down what your thoughts are on Suzu being one of these masters of PSYOP, saying one thing, meaning another, saying, any of that? Can you, any opinions?
The recent tweet, are you talking about the one where he said he was talking to the proper people and stuff like that, and that was potential PSYOPs?
Well, I'm talking about A, kind of like his history of being known for being a PSYOP king, and then B, do you think any of those PSYOPs apply to the current situation?
I think that there's no way to make there's no way to be able to really call it. I think that they're actually in trouble. But then again, it's like the situation has been painted really bad, and I don't know like what other times he's done PSYOPs that well. I know that he's been an active Twitter troll and he enjoys having fun. But I didn't know he was like a heavy PSYOPser. So that's intriguing. What other times did he actually manage to like almost like ride the wave of something bad?
Yeah, there's some famous times, and basically the meme, the Memento movie where it's the guy takes the Polaroid and reminds himself to do something. There's a picture of Suzu on there, and it says, don't believe his lies, right? That's become like a famous meme because of his PSYOP level. One was like when he was, he's done it on ETH. Of course, he was one of the biggest ETH maxis for the longest time. And then when he went against ETH and started pushing AVAX and the whole "have you bridged yet, bro?" and all that was all spearheaded by him. So there was times also when they've been, of course, involved in pushing in selling tons of staked ETH in this recent scenario, right? Where because they're in trouble, they're dumping all their staked ETH.
Yeah, and that is proven. They've proven that like they're the ones dumping a lot, and a lot of people were blaming Celsius for being the primary dumpers of ETH. But it's been a lot of Three Arrows and a lot of Alameda Research dumping a lot of Ethereum.
Right, and it seems to me that Alameda and SBF are going to be the winners. Like they are literally meeting with the world leaders in the Bahamas one-on-one. They are the biggest sponsors of everything you can imagine in politics, sports. They are getting an approval to do stocks and stock derivatives. I mean, like they're getting everything. The winners.
They made the only and largest deal with the Umpires Association ever in MLB baseball. And the FTX logo is bigger than the MLB logo on every umpire's jersey. I love baseball, so kind of spoke to me there about the reach that they're going to have. And they're gunning for NASDAQ level notoriety.
And not only is it the biggest deal in umpire history, it's literally sponsoring the thing that sets the rules.
Oh, quite literally.
Okay, that's awesome. I love it. Now you're getting real deep on the conspiracies, but I mean, I guess that's probably not far-fetched.
But is it far-fetched when SBF is meeting with Bill Clinton and Tony Blair in the Bahamas less than a week before the UST attack?
No, I mean, it's not.
And
the thing is awesome.
But I want to count. And let's couch that Bahamas meeting with the fact that nobody from Terra was invited to that Bahamas event.
So I do like, I'm not saying it's bad or it's not, it doesn't exist. It's just funny because it's the umpires. It's like, okay, of all things, there you go. But I just want to make one more point and then I'm going to have to run. But I do appreciate the warning, Pirate, about Voyager. I mean, I'm cautious, but Ole or Ola, whatever you said, whatever your name is, but
Ola.
You said something about Ola. Okay. You said, that you think this is going to be a quicker drop and reset than before. And I happen to agree with you because of maybe this is a conspiracy, but I'm almost to the point where I feel like we were allowed to put all this money into DeFi and crypto just so that the government could set us up and delete it. because that's where that's what happened.
There's, yes,
how many trillion dollars just got deleted in such a short amount of time? It's just gone, which solves the Fed's problem of inflation
and they,
in
they,
a quicker manner of time, right?
And they could not take it from they couldn't do that blatant a market manipulation, I don't think, in traditional means. But with exactly. with Elon Musk telling everyone to buy Doge and shit, they could do it.
Yeah, they just absolutely deleted us. And yeah, I mean, that's a conspiracy that I feel like is probably not very far fetched, and I wouldn't put it past our government to do it. And that, BlackRock, and
even FBI. Though. And dude, like even though we got hit first, now we are seeing literally this, all the so-called big brains of ETH, you know, the three ACs, the ETH Maxis, who had all these shows, influencer shows that everyone thought were such geniuses. They're all getting hit. Everybody is getting hit. You know what I mean? They're taking everything right now. And they're taking it from the stock markets and real estate and everything you can imagine right now. They are just squeezing everybody. So when this great reset that we've all heard about is now in our face, like, they're just going to say, yep, boom, everything down. Oh, and you didn't think it'd go down further? Way down further. Because they pumped it more artificially than anything. And they literally had BlackRock asset manage their assets. So we can see it right in front of our face. This is BlackRock. This is that BlackRock is USDC. USDC just announced their European stablecoin, whatever it was, 2 days ago. Right. So they got the USDC stablecoin. They got the Euro stablecoin. And my basically this macro thesis is very simply that what we have been in World War III, which is a currency war, since all the Russia stuff started. Right. It's all a currency war. It's all about what's going to succeed as a currency. The fiat dollar is in trouble, right? Because it's a petrodollar. They need to maintain the petro agreement, and that's already very unstable. And you have the BRICS nations announcing that they're going to have a CBDC backed by gold, right? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They're going to have a CBDC backed by gold. It's coming, right? So what can the U.S. do? The only thing the U.S. can do, they can't compete with the gold backing, but if they can get crypto dollar, which is back everything in crypto with a fiat U.S. dollar, central reserve guaranteed, one-to-one backed in a bank account, U.S. reserve dollar, which is what they're saying, what they want in every congressional hearing. That's what they want. We want one-to-one backed in a bank account, blah, blah, blah. SBF, yes, no problem. One-to-one backed in a bank account, daily reports, no problem. Right? So they get that. Boom. Crypto dollar exists. Everything in crypto is backed by a central bank dollar. They have an exit for petrodollar. To me, that's their only exit. They're painted in a corner. How are they going to get out of that? And what are they doing? They have their asset managers, BlackRock, taking over stable coins and crypto.
That's the most logical theory I've heard that anyone has kind of articulated. And it was really well articulated. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Bola.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, guys.
You can't argue with that. It's rough. It's kind of rough. But yeah, what else are you going to say? It's a pill we got to swallow.
Well, this was our enemy the whole time. These are the same forces that have been our enemy the whole time. It was great that we were making money in, you know, DeFi and in the crypto world. But honestly, in the bigger picture, this is always who we were against. We're always against the central bank. We're always against these forces.
So I've heard a theory that, you know, because of the centralized exchange collapse, if you will, Celsius, all that, that there might be another run for DeFi. But are you saying that that's just going to be controlled and wrapped around USDC?
But the regulations, what they're saying is KYC everything. So how, and we already saw that in Terra, right? We had the split in Terra where we had saw some protocols are saying, all right, we're going to do some level of KYC. Now, that was kind of an elephant in the room, I thought, always for the ecosystem. Like, all right, are we going to address that? Like, what is the end outcome of this? Are we all going to KYC? Is it going to be some protocols say we have to do it because of the regulations? We obviously saw some protocols preparing for those regulations, right? So but that is what's coming now. So it is, and of course, it'll be region based, right? It's going to be super hard in the United States to get out of KYC anything. Now, other countries, of course, going to be a different story. But for here, forget about it.
Well, the happy hour really did take a rather happy turn there. But I mean, there's not really that much to be happy about because, like, we're all hurting. Like, this has all been extremely terrible.
But at the same time, right, like, if we are aware of what we're dealing with, we can create a solution. I don't think it's over, but I do think, like, this is what we're dealing with. And A, if we have a strong enough legal case from the door, like, when this hits and they're going to come right away strong with this fast, heavy,
we need a dedicated team of legal people that can work in an open source manner to respond, right? So my concern is we won't have that legal response ready because they're coming faster than we realize.
Yeah, but there's no, that goes back to the overarching thing. True decentralization doesn't exist. Someone's got to lead the sheep, if you will, and I'm not calling anyone a sheep, but someone's got to make the decision at the end of the day. And that's kind of where Doe has to take the fall, but was also the hero when we were all making money. Someone needs to, at the end of the day, if the two sides are split, pick one or the other. And that's a huge flaw in DeFi and just, you know, the theory behind it and the ethos.
And that's where my main disappointment lies. Like, where is the Doquan right now that said the thesis of fiat money is violence and our thesis is a protest against that violence? I want to see that Doquan right now stepping up and saying, look, this is an attack by the central banks and these forces, and this is what's happened, and we are standing up for decentralized money, not just, all right, let's fork it and make a standard L1, so blah, blah, blah. Like, that's my biggest problem in this. There's no talk about decentralized money and this fallout and what it means and the implications. And is there any future for decentralized money? We're all concerned about the price and the cycle and where Bitcoin is and all this other shit. But like, dude, decentralized money, do we survive or not?
But that goes back to the point, though. You have people knocking on his wife's door, you know? So he probably has 10,000 other things to worry about than rallying the troops again. Outside of the care for his chain and his, and not his real baby, but his baby and Tara, like trying to get something out of nothing in his time over the years. But again, this is war, and now they're the factions are split.
Yes.
And no, I agree. Like I attended a lot of the Tara rebuilding stuff, and I actually had an opportunity to be in a meeting with Doquan, and this was like days after the crash. He started meeting with people from the community, and this was like at this point we were already talking about the first major plan, and it was just coming up, and it was just before he released the first proposal. And so he just jumped on a Zoom call with like a whole bunch of people from the community, and it was just interesting to hear from him. But you're exactly right, the Doquan that was there pioneering this like whole rhetoric around, we're creating a free form of money that's going to unlock financial instruments for the broader world and like really, really like transform our entire system. That Doquan wasn't there. Like that Doquan was not in that meeting. And it was a Doquan that was, he was straight up in, how do I get this chain back alive? How do I get these protocols back like running so that they can have some money to figure out what to do with their lives? I think that that's what his priority was at that point. I think that he probably made like the over and under decision that it was like, at this point, it's better to just try to recover what was there, let people kind of survive and just get it going and try to get it going. And maybe he comes back. Maybe he offers something to like essentially help build a new UST. Maybe a new stablecoin comes back. I do think that this is going to hurt a lot of the taste for stablecoins. But I think that there is still going to be interest from investors who believe in this value prop. And it just won't die out. But yeah, no, I definitely do agree that Doquan has changed.
Well, that's what makes the attack so intricate. They could have just arrested Doe, right? But he would have gone down as a martyr. They made him the villain. They made him the villain.
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
So, and then also all the rhetoric of, the tweets and the cockiness, but he was on to something, and he deserved to be a little boisterous. But back to,
he made it easy for them.
Yeah, bragging about your war chest. You know, LFG should have been set up and then announced with, $5 billion or whatever, and not specific assets. But then, flip side, we played devil's advocate. Would we all have bitched about transparency? So it's a double-edged sword that he was walking the fine line of as well. So
I'm going to just, for the sake of all the tinfoil hat wearers out there, I will take it one step back further, right? Was, now, because anytime I met Doquan, talked to him, I've always felt his heart and intentions, listened to him speak, were totally pure. I have dealt with a lot of bullshit artists in the past. I've exposed bullshit networks in the past. I never got a bad feeling or had any red flags that Doquan was full of shit or was a scammer or anything. I was in the early days of Urine. I always thought Andre was a piece of shit, and I knew he was. right? So I saw them scam people on Eminence, right? Anyway, my point is,
the people, who are the people behind Doe, right? We got like Arrington XRP. We got like Novogratz. These are major, major money players, right? Doe is charismatic, likable. These other guys aren't so charismatic, aren't so likable, right? Doe sold everything super well. All of these guys who were the big money who supposedly had Doe's back fucking bailed when shit fucking hit the fan. They all apparently sold early. They all got their profits. Arrington XRP's validators just amazingly shut off during the event. Right? So, again, the money behind Doe. Was Doe the guy who could sell DeFi to the masses? Was Doe the guy who could make you go to your brother, your mom, your dad, and be like, yo, put some money in Luna because this is the real deal? Yes, he was. Because we all did that. I got
And also the high level research that you put in, you started seeing people like Jonathan from Levana and Remy on LFG. There was a natural progression of very smart people backing him.
Yes.
That gave me so much confidence to keep my money. So when I took profit, I put it in Alice. And, you know, when the dip started happening, I thought, oh, great, $50 Luna. Let me grab some more cheap stuff. But back to – and I had full belief in if Doe went tangent that he had such a good group of people around him that we were getting too big to fail.
We were. We were literally days. It was those days. Like everyone says, everyone is correct. Like it was if we had gone a couple more days, if the curve pool had just finished transferring. I mean – we had UST payments for tons of stuff at Terra Dapp Expo. UST payments for tons of stuff. I mean, you know, it was all done deal.
I heard rumors that UST was going to be able to buy you things throughout the venue.
Yes, that's not a rumor. That's true.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought that was just a rumor that you guys had like a full-on payment infrastructure set up. So that's sick.
Well, there were even talks with when the Nationals baseball team stuff came out. That they were eventually hopefully going to integrate something into the stadium with UST.
And they were. I actually got to meet the one of the owners of the Nationals teams of the Nats, and he
did you meet Lerner?
Yes, I met Lerner. Yeah. I was there at the live stream. I met Lerner, got to chat with him. Guy's a huge, huge crypto degen. He loves farming, and dude, I'm telling you, he's like into some rando farms. Like random stuff in the depths of Harmony. In the depths of Cosmos. He's huge into all of it. And so I chatted with him and he was like, yeah, we're definitely going to be onboarding it. We're going to be integrating payments here soon. And he was like, personally, I'm really interested in like the potential to like see it eventually reach like payroll and actual traditional TradFi use cases for fiat systems. And so he was really bold, man. He was in it. He loved the vision. He bought in. He understood the value prop, and so much so that he was okay with slapping that Terra UST logo in the best suite of his arena. Like it's literally, you literally had like an endless bar of food, an endless wet bar. Like it was an incredible time. And it felt surreal. That entire trip, it was just felt so surreal to see the Luna logo there. And that was like really a moment for me personally where like I felt like, wow, this is real. Like this is a real like mission. This is a real value prop. But this real value prop completely fell apart from like one portion of the design that got exploited. So really overall just kind of made me immune for this past week. But yeah, I wanted to get your guys' last closing thoughts. We've been going on for here about an hour and a half now. And I want to thank everyone for coming in for this happy hour. We're going to be kicking up content much more now as a Bytes Digital team. We're in a transitionary phase, so stuff is going to look a little different, but be sure that to count on this Twitter space happening every Friday. We're not going to be going anywhere. Our channel's not going to be going anywhere, so definitely stay tuned. Ola, thank you so much for joining. The Royal, thank you so much. Anything you guys want to say?
Protect your cash. We don't know what the macro environment's going to be. As fortunate as it sounds coming out of my mouth, protect your capital at all costs. Don't catch the falling knife. don't be exit liquidity for people. And let's just get through this recession together and keep studying and learning.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. And also know your enemy, know what we're up against in creating any type of decentralized money for the future, and know the stakes of what it is if we do not succeed. We've been working against a ticking time bomb for a long time. Anyone whose heart was truly in Terra, I think, has some level of their soul invested in what the true mission of UST was. I know there's no UST right now or a concept of it apparently on Terra 2, but that doesn't mean that us together, or as any, like I said, the great world can create a real decentralized money. Love all you guys.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. We'll catch you guys on next week's show.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Bear Market Happy Hour, hosted by the Bytes Digital Group, recorded on Friday, June 17th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush. Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse. But in the universe, I'm just writing some words. Enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. Shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead. Or put it in new speakers. It's a toss up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo. I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building and the blocks came tumbling down. All humble, feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal, I should be taking off in the shuttle, getting high in space with the Hubble.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa? Can you play that one C-Fi space where he clowned all the SafeMoon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, son, I remember a time. Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys,
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys. I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
from the creators of Your Exit Liquidity in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate. Terra Spaces.